And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
No, you don't have to cut up the credit. Well, maybe you should cut up credit cards. Depends on your situation, but I'm not going to preach about it. But what we need to get to right away, because there's so much going on in the market that Scott is going to share with us today, is the
fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott. Okay, David.
How you doing, Scott?
Terrific.
Now, I've set you up there. You know, don't disappoint. I know you've got lots to tell people about what happened in the market.
There's a lot to look forward to this week. But Monday's market was pretty boring. The Dow was down 10 points, S&P flat, NASDAQ down a little teeny tiny bit, oil up a little bit, but still inside of $100. And gold up a little teeny tiny bit as well. No economic releases at all for Monday.
See, all that you just said, that all sounds actually pretty good to me. I think that people are tired of the volatility. It's very unnerving. And, you know, one of the things that will help our country move forward is for people to not be
scared.
There's an old saying about a cat with a bunch of knives, or you ever heard it? No. I'm getting blank faces.
I don't know that one.
Anyway, you don't want to be a cat walking through with, you know, the knives that might cut your tail off. Anyway, somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. So, not a lot of news, but that's not a bad thing. But
there's still news, though. I mean, we're still waiting for the leaders in Europe to come to terms with private Greek debt holders, for them to come out and determine how much of a so-called haircut private holders are going to take. I know we'll talk about that in a little bit. And they need that agreement in place before they get their next big wave of bailout money, which is in March when the big bond payment is due.
So they don't have a lot of time to figure this out. It's kind of getting down to crunch time.
It is definitely getting down to crunch time. There's no question. And if they have an agreement, then they can do what they call a smooth default or an easy default. If they don't have an agreement, then it could be a messy default. So there's a pretty big difference between those two things.
If you go into the store, get smooth. I like smooth peanut butter.
Smooth would be better. The market's ready for smooth. It's already priced in. The risk is priced in and everything. A hard, ugly, gruesome default. Nobody really knows what would happen with that. Company news, Research in Motion had a very strange managerial structure. They had co-CEOs. The co-founders were co-CEOs. Wall Street has been screaming for these guys to set down forever. So finally, they announced over the weekend they were going to step down, and the market said, yay. And they said, we're going to replace them with the COO, a guy named Torsten Hines, and the market said boo, and the stock was off about 8%.
That's just so funny to have co-CEOs. It reminds me of the skit that Saturday Night Live did with like the co-presidents of George Bush and Al Gore, and it was just the funniest thing.
Yeah, it just did not work.
It was like, hey,
work.
Look, you're either in charge or you're not.
Yeah, it was not working at all, and you've seen what's happened to Research in Motion and BlackBerry products, and Apple has just crushed them. But a lot to look forward to this week. Starting on Tuesday, the FOMC meeting begins. I know last week we talked about another round of quantitative easing, so that process gets underway Tuesday. We have the President's State of the Union address Tuesday. We're still knee-deep in earnings season. Just strictly on Tuesday, we get McDonald's, Travelers, DuPont, Johnson & Johnson, Apple, Verizon, Yahoo, so lots of announcements there. Wednesday, we'll get more news on home sales, and we'll get the announcement from the FOMC meeting. Also, earnings from Boeing and ConocoPhillips, among others. Thursday, we get our ever-important jobless claims number, as well as earnings from AT&T and Caterpillar. And then Friday, you'll like this. You like this number. We'll get our first look at fourth-quarter GDP.
Cool.
As well as earnings from Chevron, Procter & Gamble, D.R. Horton. There are almost 120 S&P 500 companies announcing earnings this week.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, we need to know what's going on. And the thing that's interesting is to look at where stocks are today. You look at how they're valued, and there are, you know, different people kind of taking a look at this. And a lot of people are saying, hey, look, these things are priced cheap. Now's a good time to buy. And then you hear people say, well, but the worst is not over. What do you think?
Well, you know, people really like to focus on the P.E. ratio, which is the price to earnings ratio. We know what the price is because we know what the stocks are trading for. The question is the E, the earnings. And they look at forward, they take an estimate of forward earnings. And so far this earnings season has candidly been pretty mixed. We had lousy numbers from Google, which is normally a real leader. We had lousy numbers from JP Morgan. And then conversely, we got good numbers from Bank of America. So it's been very, very, very mixed. So I think it's hard to paint a broad brush to say the market is overvalued or undervalued.
Okay, so you can't look at like the overall PE for the whole market and say, hey, it's 13 and historically it's 15 and that means let's go buy a bunch of it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, okay. You know, we're not big advocates of market timing anyway.
No, we're not.
We're advocates of solid portfolios that are designed to withstand time and have limited risk depending on the risk characteristics that we're shooting for. And, you know, we're not really day-to-day managers.
I'm going to get a bumper sticker made up for you, Scott. But I know you love bumper stickers.
I do.
And I want to put on the back of your car, it says, risk first.
Okay.
You know, they had a country first, you know, with
sure.
the Palin and McCain.
Yep.
We're going to have one for you, Scott, that says, risk first.
I will wear it proudly.
All right. Well, what's one other quick thing is, you know, there's not a lot of growth. Everybody's kind of lowering their expectations for economic growth for the United States and even worldwide. But it seems like we're trimming back the expectations. The reports out on the expectation for a recession is down substantially. The double dip is kind of really gone.
Yeah.
But a lot of the expectations are it's just going to be slow go.
Yeah, there have been, you know, we're at the beginning of the year, so there are a lot of surveys coming out. And one of the surveys I saw today from the National Association of Business Economics said about two-thirds of the economists who participated in that poll said they were looking at a growth rate right around 2% or so this year.
That's pretty flat. Well, I mean, it's not flat, but it's anemic. It's not real strong.
Yeah, it's not real strong, and really it's all driven by jobs, and the jobs are just not being created fast enough. If jobs were being created faster, we could easily see a 3 or 4% GDP rate, but we're just not seeing jobs created quickly enough.
Well, we've talked about this very often on the show, and I think you actually cited the number originally, and I remembered it, is we need to add 100,000 jobs a month just to absorb the new people coming
right
into the workforce from our population.
Yeah, really for us to get back on a track of what you and I would call a growth track, we need about 400,000 jobs a month, and right now we're getting nowhere near that, really.
Well, we're looking at, what, 150, 160?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're growing, it's just at a snail's pace.
Yeah. It's going to take us until 2024 at this pace to get back to where the employment was before the recession started in 2008.
Well, one quick thing before we go to break is IT budgets are not lofty. There was a big survey done all around the world. Some 2,400 chief and IT officer, and they pretty much said, nah, we're not going to spend much. Now, there were some hot pockets. Some of it in South Latin America looks like they're going to spend quite a bit. But Europe, United States, pretty flat. So
yeah, and they are looking at what was interesting in that study was that they're really going to focus on mobile technology and also business analytics to really understand customers better.
Okay. Well, more on analytics after we take this break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelations inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read will find you clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
I got one for you we need to break down, Scott. Let's break down what's going on with, you know, I know people are probably tired of hearing about Europe, and they probably say, okay, move on. But there is a little bit of good news. I was reading in the Wall Street Journal a quick little chart that was there, and it had all of these countries that were having a little bit more difficulty selling their bonds or not having to pay a fortune in terms of the yield on these bonds. And so kind of some good news, which I think is, you know, the more we see that, the more our market, of course, says, yay, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and we're always looking at the next 10-year auction. The 10 years are the really important ones.
Well, the most recent one showed Italy, which was, they were over 7, right?
Yes, and 7 is really that sort of critical number that people
keep
an eye
out for.
You get over
7, it's not, what do they call it, economically
sustainable.
Yeah. Okay, in other words, it won't work.
Right.
So they're down now to 6.3% yield, and they were over 7. So that was almost a full point.
Yeah, that's a good move. Spanish bonds have gone the same way.
They're down to 5.2.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. Portuguese bonds, since they're all the way back down into junk status, are a little bit more of a concern since their last downgrade. But definitely the Italian bond situation is significantly better than it was a couple months ago.
Well, not that Portugal is irrelevant by any shape, means, or anything else, but they're not Italy.
Yeah.
And so I'll find on the break how big they are compared to Greece. But
yeah.
But that's the encouraging news. And the other thing that I wanted to, did you have anything else on that?
Well, I do think it's interesting that in this bond renegotiation for Greece that we talked about, they're taking these 10-year bonds that are supposed to come due in March, and they're restructuring them into 30-year bonds that are worth half as much as the 10-year bonds at 4%.
That's quite
a
deal.
How does Greece get away with paying 4%?
Well, it's almost like, okay, take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
It's all we can afford. It's all we can afford. If you don't do it, well, it is what it is. And, you know, here's another thing that's interesting that I think definitely deserves the Finglish to English translation. And that is, and you know, I've talked about this a number of times, is the whole area puts, calls, all this exotic derivative stuff.
Options.
And, well, what was funny is I read an article in the this was over in USA Today. And they talked about, I'm not going to pick on them, but it's just a little bit funny to me how sometimes things can be explained, and then it could really, if you're not careful, you get yourself in trouble. They had a little write-up talking about safe strategies with options and puts and calls, moderate strategy and aggressive strategy. And, you know, I don't care any of these you look at, they're not exactly safe strategies. You can really get yourself in a bad spot pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, and I've heard clients have seen it. I'm sure you've seen countless seminars where you go to the seminar and they say, well, if you sell covered calls, it's a very, very safe strategy. Except what happens if your stock drops by 50%? You're stuck with a worthless call and a stock that's worth half.
Exactly.
But the options market trades really, really, really quickly. The new trend in options are weekly options. So rather than expiring once a month, they expire once a week. And to give you an idea of how much that's changed volume, in 2010, they were about 1.7 million options contracts traded, 2010.
Per month or for the whole year?
For the whole year. Okay. 2011, 379 million.
Holy
How's
smokes.
That? Mostly because of these weekly contracts that they've put
so
in.
So there's
place.
A lot of witches.
There's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of witches. Yeah, that's a lot of witches.
You know, the triple witching. And yeah, get it. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of witches. But, you know, they say the easiest way to make a small fortune in options is to start with a big one.
A big fortune.
Yeah.
And then make it small.
And then make it small. Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because, you know, it talks about, well, if things go wrong, you know, you could end up losing everything. Well,
yeah.
That's
bad.
I think that's pretty serious business.
Yeah, that's bad.
So here is the financial takeaway on this, ladies and gentlemen, is I don't do puts, calls, options, or any of that stuff for my own financial or investment portfolio. And, you know, even with our strategies we use, Scott, it's something that we do it limited and only in certain circumstances, and really when we're dealing with a large customized portfolio.
Yeah, options can be extremely, extremely complicated.
They can
you
turn
have to
on
know
you
all
in
the
a
Greeks,
second.
You have to know the spreads. You have to know the open interest, all that stuff.
Well, think
stuff.
About this. Think about all the people in 2011, how much volatility we saw. So let's say coming into 2012, some of those traders are out there saying, you know what? We can clean up this year. Let's just buy some options on the volatility index, or we'll do this and we'll do that. Guess what? Right now, they are sucking lemons.
Right, absolutely.
They are in bad trouble.
Put a lot of money into premium that's not going to
The premium's
generate.
Not going to pay, and you're just not going to get anything for it.
Yeah, be careful with options. They can be dangerous.
I think that stay away from options unless you are really savvy, and if you're savvy, well, then you hire a financial advisor to help you. And then we'll tell you, don't do options.
in the CFA program, you have to calculate options prices using the Black-Scholes model by hand on the level 2 test.
Very nice. Yeah,
that's
I know
brutal.
I know it's called the Black-Scholes. I never had to do it by hand.
Yeah, it's brutal.
No, thank you. Well, with everything going on, What's the fallback position for people, Scott, with what if Europe gets worse? You know, things are looking better. What if it turns around and goes the other way? Let's say Greece just implodes and then it starts to spread, or there's a, or it causes a shockwave that people get nervous about other countries. What's the fallback position?
Yeah, I mean, I think history, although it doesn't repeat itself, they say it teaches a pretty good lesson. 2011, we saw very, very, very clearly that money doesn't disappear. It goes from one place to the next place. And when the markets are nervous, it still goes to U.S. Treasuries, German bonds to a certain extent. But in the case of Europe just collapsing, I would look for yields to continue to come down, even from where they are now, 2% on tens. It could be 1.5, 1.25 if things really got bad.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Now, right now, they are back above 2%. That's the yield that the government, that's what the government's going to pay to somebody buying a 10-year note today. Still below expected inflation.
Yeah.
But it's something that gives us a good barometer on where people are. And as that yield goes up, that tells us there are fewer buyers.
Right.
For those bonds, which means the money's going, like you just said, Scott, the money's going somewhere. Where is it going? Now, I have my opinion is because of the volatility being reduced and because of the perception that the market's starting to come back up and maybe some of the traders out there miss the opportunity to get in on the market. There's a lot of people pulling money from the, you know, bonds and other areas that would bond funds that would be buying treasuries and going more directly into the market.
Yeah, less risk off, more risk on.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that that's a good idea across the board.
Yeah,
and
but you can wade into it.
Yeah, and we do a lot of dollar cost averaging in, but I think for the person that's getting, you know, further along, closer to retirement, already in retirement, I think that they've got to be real careful going, because you know it's almost like you're trying to drive the car looking through your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
You can do it, but when you see the yellow line or whatever it was, white line on the right, yellow on the whatever, when you see that in your rearview mirror, you're already off the road.
Right,
it's too late. Well. Lisa's giving me the sign to get off the road here. We're going to take another short break and we'll be right back.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 13 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
All right. Well, we're back talking to Scott before I sent him off back to the investment office to manage our client portfolios. For our main topic segment, I wanted to circle back around and talk a little bit about, well, our taxes and some of that. We've talked on some previous shows about it, and there's some things here going on that I just really feel like we've got to be on guard as Americans, as consumers, as taxpayers. One of the things is, of course, been in the news. It's, you know, it's political season. Scott talks about earnings season. Well, it's political season. We got a whole year of it, folks. So strap in and hold on. It's not going to go away. And, you know, Warren Buffett, who has been becoming more vocal, or maybe I'm just paying better attention, has been becoming more vocal, especially with Mitt Romney's discussion or lack of disclosure about his tax return or his 15% tax bracket. So with all that going on, I think it's important for us to really have a clear picture of how things are playing out. So there was a quote, a report out from Bloomberg that Mr. Buffett, who I affectionately sometimes refer to as Warren Fuss Budget, because it seems like he's just fussing over something that I don't think he should. He's commenting on Romney paying 15%. He basically says, I understand he pays 15%. He's paying basically what the law says. I understand. And, you know, hey, he should do what's in his best interest. But then he went on to say, and this is where I said, wait a minute. He talked about, here it is. Where is? Oh, he says, I don't fault him, quote unquote, but I do fault a law that allows him and me, referring to himself, obviously earning quite a bit of money too, to earn enormous sums to pay overall federal taxes at a rate that's about half the average person in my office, referring to his Berkshire Hathaway. folks, you know I'm a numbers guy. I'm a CPA and a certified financial planner. Well, I started chewing on that and going, well, wait a minute. Okay, if Mitt Romney's paying 15% tax bracket and Mr. Buffett is saying that the average person in his office pays a 30%, because he says that the rate that Mitt Romney's paying is half of that of his average person in his office. That the math then means that average person in Mr. Buffett's office is paying 30% taxes. Okay, so I went over then to one of my funny favorite websites called MoneyChimp.com, and I just went in and plugged in and said, okay, how much does somebody need to make to get to where they're paying 30% in taxes? This is staggering. You have to, if you were married, filing jointly for 2011, you'd have to have $700,000. I got an eyebrow raise out of Lisa. $700,000 in taxes, in income to have a 30% tax bracket. You'd pay $210,000 on $700,000 of income, which most people say, okay, that's fine with me. But that is an incredible number. So we're not talking about the average Joe who is having to pay a higher bracket or double the bracket that Mitt Romney's paying or anybody else is paying 15%. We're talking about some very high-end people. So I guess the average person working at Berkshire Hathaway is making a lot of money. So I don't get it, or maybe I do. I think that it's just not fair. It's not honest, in my opinion, to say, well, you know, this is how it is, because I just can't envision that the average person, now maybe he's got a really, really high paid staff, but it's like they keep mixing apples and oranges. And it's just extraordinary, because when you look at people who are in these tax brackets, here's another one that's really interesting. If you have, you know, according to the IRS, I pulled some data and also pulled some stuff from taxdebthelp.com. And basically, 97% of people that file a tax return, including people that file to get money back and don't pay taxes, 97% of them have an income that they report on their tax return of $200,000 or less. 97, that's 135 million tax returns have $200,000 or less. And if you were at 200,000, it'd be a 20% bracket. So it's about 5% more than what Mitt Romney's paying. So that's really remarkable. So I just found that to be very interesting, and I wanted to follow up on it because we only got a chance to talk about it for a minute the other day. And I think the solution here, we keep hearing about taxes, and nobody, what the implication of all of this is that nobody who's at the top should pay at a lower bracket than somebody at the bottom. Well, I'm still trying to find, because I'm seeing 97% aren't paying as high of a bracket, but we can make this really easy. Let's just do a 10% tax or whatever it is across the board. If 15% is right for Mitt Romney, I say let's make it right for everybody. Or it's 10% or 12%. Let's streamline this and make it really easy. So how does this tie in to, other than my spouting off a little bit? Well, the tie-in to your personal finances is that we need a simpler, easier, not talking about a flat tax and tea party and all that. I'm talking about just a real simple way of you being able to plan your financial future, knowing what we're dealing with. And if we want the strongest economic recovery that our country's ever seen, I can tell you exactly how we get it. We get that by making the tax code real simple and encourage people to earn and make money and have that disposable income that they're going to spend. Because if everybody's paying the 10 or 12%, whatever it is for income tax, and again, let's not mix that up with payroll taxes, which are for Medicare and Social Security. If everybody's paying that 10 or 12%, whatever it is, then it will stoke the economy and it will make things a lot easier. So that's how we tie into personal finance. So as you read and hear from the politicians or the politician wannabes, and they're talking about we should do this and we should do that, we need to take it with a grain of salt that it's not always the straight honest, flat out, straight truth or getting the facts right. when you read this in the paper, that there are sometimes, believe it or not, agenda-driven, that people want certain things to be, so they cast them and present them a certain way. It's not gospel just because it's in the paper or been quoted on TV. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to come back for our two-minute warning.
Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526.
This is your two-minute warning.
Yes, it is. And just coming back from the break, real quick, before we took, we went to the commercial, 97% of U.S. taxpayers make $200,000 or less, and that means they are paying a 20% bracket or less on their income. So let's keep that in perspective as we hear, and all of this year, we're going to hear about taxes. And something else I'm going to bring back that was popular, actually got a lot of feedback, and people asked me to talk for a little bit more, so I'll do another quick minute and a half on this. When you get the financial seminar invitation in the paper or in your mailbox or whatever it may be, I want you to take a couple extra steps before you decide to go to one of these presentations. And I have done them in the past myself, and they can be a good way to talk to a group, but you need to know who's doing it and all that. Like I talked about the last time, you can call the State Department of Insurance if you want to check them out. You can go to SEC.gov. You can go to FINRA.org. You can check out any credentials by calling the sponsoring organization directly. Now, let me give you some really important advice. If you go to the meeting and you want to meet with them, which is fine, if you feel comfortable, you don't do it at your house. You go to their office. If they don't have an office, I think you've got a question mark. When's the last time a doctor or an attorney came to your house instead of having you come to their office? So these are the kinds of things to be on the lookout for. And the other advantage of being in their office, not at your house, is when you want to leave, you can leave. You don't need to ask them to leave. You don't have to try to end the meeting. You can just simply literally get up and walk out. And so you retain a lot of control about your situation. And I could tell you a very quick story. I one time heard an agent kind of bragging, an advisor bragging about almost strong-arming a person to do business with him. And he was bragging about it, and he used a little bit of intimidation. So it's out there. It's real. Be careful. And I'll pick up another 2 minutes on this on another day, talking more about the content of financial seminars and what to be on the lookout for. Thanks for being with me.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.